Welcome back to Movie Trailer News Podcast. Your host Chris here with Ro and Brandon, and we're here to review Disney's The Lion King. I'm not going to read the synopsis on this because you guys know what the fuck it is. Let's just hop right into this and talk about this movie. What do you guys think?
Ro can go.
I thought it looked beautiful. I liked the voice cast. I did not have a problem that it stayed relatively faithful to the original. I just felt like necessarily that there was the pacing and the timing didn't grab me all the way through. I did not stay consistently engaged in this. But I liked it. And I want to hang out with Rafiki and his tree. But I'm weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rafiki's my favorite character from the original. I was happy with the translation to him and all his epic realness. I liked all those aspects of it. I don't necessarily feel like they made the best use of Nala in here, and I think they
I mean,
he's, look, you said just get into it, so I'm getting into it. As you said on Facebook, there's a reason why the spinoff show was Timon and Pumbaa. I honestly really appreciated the way they set up the dynamic between Mufasa and Scar. I thought Chiwetel and James Earl Jones did a great job. I liked all of those parts of the movie. I thought it was well done. I was engaged. I was interested. But I liked the interaction between young Simba, J.D. McCray, and Mufasa, his daddy. I thought those elements worked. I liked the way that they used some of the more realistic ways that the animals move, but they still managed to make it seem really playful. They playing and acting a fool and all that stuff really worked. I wasn't really hung up on whether or not it looked like somebody's mouth was moving when they were talking, but some of the other characters, I don't feel like they connected beyond being a recognizable voice. I don't feel like they gave them enough to do to get the emotional impact for the moments that you were supposed to get. And so that meant that while I enjoyed this experience, I was still messed up in the head when Mufasa died. I was not okay when little Simba ran over there and was like curled up next to him. All of those things, I thought they translated really well. I thought they paid attention to those kinds of moments. But when it came to male-female dynamics, there was something missing in the translation, and I don't feel as though it was on the male side of the conversations being had.
All right.
That's two emotes.
You know what? Like I said this to you real earlier, and pretty much like everybody's going through all of this. Like the score right now is like, I think, was that last time I checked, it was at 59% likability.
I haven't checked.
On Rotten Tomatoes, and
I think this movie is going to do just fine.
I'm not worried about any of that. That's the first thing. But okay. Like, dog, listen, actually go back and watch The Lion King. Like, go watch it and actually pay attention to the, not, like, if you take out all the music and you take out all the Timon and Pumbaa and you just watch The Lion King for the story that it is, the fact that they translated this or adapted it to on screen to, and I'm coming through somebody's headset right now. The fact that they put it on screen and adapted it into live action CGI kind of makes you focus a bit more on the aspects of the story. And the Lion King story just ain't that fucking deep, dog. It really ain't that complex. Lil Simba trips up, gets tricked by his uncle, his daddy dies, he runs away, he makes some friends, Nala finds him, she like, yo, bring your ass back, nigga, grow some balls. He like, I guess I'll come. He comes, he fights Scar dies, the end. Like, it's not that fucking complicated. It's not all these like deep-rooted sentiments or like conversations that we can really have around the Lion King. What made the Lion King cartoon so dope was, one, the animation was cute and it was fun. Like, for kids, that's perfect. The music is catchy as shit and it's timeless. So all they had to do was put that stuff in the movie, get good people to sing it, and I think introducing people like Beyonce to sing certain songs, because she's going Beyonce. I just don't think you cannot get Beyonce to Beyonce. And the fact that Nala might not have had a whole lot going on might have been you know, for the best, because even when her and Gambino sung together, I was like, she cannot not Beyonce. Like, she has a strong voice and she gonna shine over whoever there. And dog, just don't be that person there unless you super confident. Childish Gambino, I think, wasn't used a whole lot, but I don't think there was really much to use him for, because the second half of the film is more about, it's always to me been more about shining his light on what the fuck Scar is doing with the hyenas. What the fuck is Rafiki doing up in that tree painting with bugs? And Timon and Pumbaa, like, just kind of having this nigga free lifing out in the middle of the Amazon. Like, I get that everybody loves this cartoon, and I love seeing it in live action, because Disney ain't doing nothing but slinging their dick around in other studios' faces right now and being like, look what we can do compared to whatever the fuck it is over there you're doing, because y'all ain't us. We're amazing. And look at this grass blowing in the wind. Y'all know this grass CGI, right? Like, this is not B-roll footage that we took and put CGI animals in it. We created the grass, nigga. We created Mother Nature.
It looked like one of those IMAX, like, Earth movies. The only thing was missing.
The
only thing was missing was Morgan Freeman, like, doing a voiceover over this shit. Like, that's really the only thing was missing. And like, here's the thing, yo. I'm a brand, like, so maybe I've realized this after seeing. So I didn't see Dumbo. I went, you know, I obviously saw Aladdin. I saw this. I've seen Jungle Book. I've seen this. I should have realized something. I don't have the attachment to these animated cartoons that some other fucking people have. Because I remember they were fucking cartoons. And as fucking cartoons, they probably aren't good as adults. And so, like, it's a one-to-one translation. So when I'm seeing, like, I've read a review where a motherfucker was complaining about how he hated Simba because as a little cub, Simba was so entitled. I'm like, the nigga sings a song as a one-year-old.
Can't wait to be king.
Like, what the fuck did you think that this was about? Like, I'm beginning to believe that I get it. That seeing it in, I know it's not live action, it's realistic CG or whatever the fuck, right? Whatever the fuck you want to call it. I think that's making people start holding this to a higher standard than they did when they were kids, because None of the complaints I've seen have made sense. I've been seeing people say, oh, well, you know, it's a live action, a distraction, doesn't give me the whimsical thing. I'm like, okay, but, like, we saw The Jungle Book. The Jungle Book has singing, too. It has singing and talking animals, too. It's the same studio that did it. These actually look better than The Jungle Book thing, so it's not that. I think just people are starting to realize that maybe you don't like The Lion King outside of the music more than you thought you did. Because
exactly.
No, that exactly. But for me, that's not what I mean. I like The Lion King. I like this. I enjoyed it. I'm only taking it for what it was. I don't have an over sentimental attachment to this. My favorite character in here was Scar. And I thought Chiwetel did an amazing job as Scar. I loved every single frame of the story built around him. What I'm talking about is what I got for what you gave me. Like, the whole sequence when Nala and Simba meet back up, they extended the length of it. And when they did that, to get those sweeping vistas and to give us longer of her singing that song as they run through the veil, when they pulled Timon and Pumbaa out with them breaking the fourth wall a little, they didn't put anything in there, but they extended a scene that was not that long that way, pulled back in the original. And that's all I was saying. I was like, when you translated how you wanted to make this look for your photo reel, I have some questions about the angles you chose, because you don't get the same evocative feeling that we got, because those were some of the few close-ups that we had. And that's what was different between when she was singing and they were going around and they thinking, oh, this is going to fall in love. There goes our bromance. Our trio's getting broke up. All of that stuff was great. And I thought it was really well done. And the updates were perfect. It's just some of the angle shots for when he chose that he wanted to deviate from the look and the angle that we got out of the animated, they didn't work. They broke some of the emotion. I don't care. I don't care what you say. I like this movie.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I babysat kids. I have seen this movie probably more than I should have to admit at times where I did not want
to be as a child.
But at times that I did not want to watch it. So I started watching. I'm like, okay, so how many close-ups can you give us on Nala? And then him looking over her and then shying away. They didn't do any of the coquettish shit they did in the original. And without that, you're just like, I'm like, I wouldn't go home with her either. She hasn't done anything to me to make me feel like I need to go home. I was like, I don't know why the sequel.
The cartoon and they lions.
Right. I just didn't know why it had to take so long. I got impatient. I wanted to move
like
on.
If we gonna really go about this, I mean, what he going home for anyway? Ain't none of these lions had no balls. Like, ain't none of these niggas had no balls. So what? Like, they procreating, and also, fucking Simba's dad Mufasa was sitting in a den full of bitches. Like, I'm just looking at this movie from the past, from the aspect of like an actual National Geographic film.
That's what lions do.
I know it is, but Disney acted like though none of that should be happening, because when Scar took over, I'm like, so you know Scar is like fucking all of the lions, right? All the lionesses, right?
I'm like, let's be real. Nala's ass would have been dead, because the first thing a new interloping lion does is kill the cubs. I wasn't saying we had to go there.
We're not supposed to, though. I'm just saying, like, the angle thing, like, what are you talking about? It's like five minutes of the movie, though. That's like, it's not even that long.
Nala shows up in the film fast pace.
It's not that long, bro. It really ain't.
It felt longer than it actually was, is what my point is. And I don't know what the hell other people's problem was. The only thing I had with this is there are parts of it that felt longer than I felt like I should have to stare at it. I was ready for them to move on. And I didn't have a problem with it.
They could have got rid of the whole beginning of the movie, honestly. They could have just cut to Mufasa falling into the herd and dying and Scar being like, Simba, leave. And that would have been fine. Like, y'all wouldn't have got your little song, and that's cool. Nah, but like, all of that stuff was fine.
But there's nothing happening before that.
Like, there's nothing happening before all of that. And like, even if I was like, they changed the way like James Earl Jones said some things, and I was like, they ain't really he really is just doing this again. Like, they got him saying certain lines again, but he put like a different temperament a bit to it.
He didn't even have to go re-memorize shit. He had to memorize nothing.
I mean, he didn't, but like the Lion King story, I don't like, and you're, I'm just picking with you on your complaints. I don't even know about CGI angles, but I'm looking at other people complaining. I'm like, what are you complaining about exactly?
I think some of the people are complaining the same way they complain about things that have black people in it when they know it's black people, and they know all the voices they was hearing was black people. And
I didn't want to go that route, but
I'm gonna say it. I will say it. Look, I legitimately had issues with the pace. I liked the pace up through a significant portion of the screen. But when they switched over to Simba being grown up, I felt like they slowed some things down in ways I did not understand. And it kind of pulled me out of the story and broke some of the connection. So I lost some of the emotional investment that I had in the story. But let's be honest, I lost some of that emotional investment that I had in the story in the original, because I like Scar. So I was like, why can't we go? Can we get back to Pride Lands and see what's happening? That's me. But other people who all this nostalgic stuff, suddenly he's too arrogant. It's because they know the voice actor is black.
Yeah,
that's intonations, they're reading into the intonation. They're reading into the attitude. They're imagining a little black kid swaggering around here talking about he just can't wait to be king and he in charge of everything he see. That's what their problem is.
Arrogant. There's a little kid from Little, and he did look kind of arrogant and Little.
That's an adorable little arrogant kid, and I liked him as baby Simba.
It just didn't make any sense to me. Like, I'm like, I have no problem with people. Like, again, Rose says the pacing's up. Okay, cool. That's a legit concern for her, and that makes sense. She still enjoyed the movie. I'm seeing people go, like, it's just something is not matching up to me, because again, we saw this with Jungle Book already. So people talking themselves out of, it's the realism is taking me out. It doesn't match up 100% with.
It's all coded speech.
Let me finish. The cartoons, watch cartoons and watch words. They don't match up either, because they're not fucking real. So the words, that argument right there doesn't make any fucking sense. I've seen people try to say, it's a thing that when it's too realistic, humans can't relate to the animal looking too realistic, because it's not animal, they can't put themselves as humans in there. I'm like, that's bullshit, because you see way too many videos day after day of people going, look at how cute my dog is, and it's like acting like just like a human, and people put human emotions on animals all the fucking time, so you can't do that. Now, granted, these In this way, what they did, what I thought was really well, is they don't try, because it would have looked stupid to put human emotions on animals. So they put animal emotions on animals. So you see the way, you can tell Mufasa cares about Simba the way you would see a, you know, parent cat or dog care about their pup or kitten. You see that in the way they act and the way they interact. It makes sense. You can't tell me you have no emotional connection. It just seems weird to me because outside of the one jackass who was sitting beside us one time, everybody else in the theater we were in, had all these reactions to these scenes just fine. So I'm starting to lean towards what Ro was saying, that it's the only thing different here between this cast and the Jungle Book cast is it's a lot of black people, because nothing else makes any fucking sense to me.
But the Jungle Book cast had not as many black people as this, but it did have a lot of black people. And true. I think that when you talk about the Jungle Book live action, and I'm calling them live action, I'm not coming up with all these other names.
Yeah, I'm
you
sorry.
Ain't nobody going to really go train no fucking lions to make a Lion King film. That's the dumbest shit ever. CGI is the greatest thing to happen to us in the world. So, like, Jungle Book is so far removed from the old cartoon. Like, I like the old Jungle Book cartoon, despite its racist moments and its, like, nonsense. But nobody's going to translate that into live action because it's so far removed from this culture currently. And kids, like, are not going to care. And even adults our age aren't going to care that it's not the original Jungle Book film. So they were able to do, they had a bit more freedom to work with that story and finesse it and kind of give you something different. So you don't have a one-to-one relation that you can make when you go watch it. Lion King is a totally different story. Like, that affects my parents, me, and people's kids that was in the theater with us. Like, they've all seen this shit. Parents still be showing their kids this movie. Kids be singing.
It was on Broadway.
Like, everybody, right. Lion King never left. Lion King never went away. It constantly stayed around in some form, in some medium. So Disney was like, listen, if we start changing up shit, we're going to piss people off. You remember when they thought the hyena song wasn't going to be in it? And people lost their shit. People were like, well, if Whoopi Goldberg and them music ain't going to be in this, I'm not going to see it. And it was like, what? Yes, you are. You are going to see it. Could you go sing all the other shit? You're going to sing Hakuna Matata. You're going to sing I Just Can't Wait to Be King. You're going to sing Can You Feel the Love Tonight? When the movie opens up, you're going to be like, nah, man, y'all. Like, you're going to do that shit, dog. Don't be acting like you're not going to see this fucking movie. What critics are doing right now with this film is completely unnecessary. It's so fucking unnecessary. This is not Aladdin. Like, this does not make the same mistakes that Aladdin did. Aladdin did not stick to the story that they had in the cartoon. Aladdin changed up characters unnecessarily for no reason. What Aladdin did to Iago is, you know, a criminal. Okay. Lion King does not do that to any of its characters. Lion King, like Chris said, which I thought was amazing, he talked about like how the lions interacted. But I was more impressed by how Pumbaa walked, which is comical because that's actually how fucking warthogs walk. And like Timon, he popped up like a meerkat. Every time he popped up and said some shit, he popped up like a fucking meerkat. And I was like, you're not going to tell me that the creators of this did not sit and watch like 900 hours of National Geographic and Animal Planet.
Of course they did. And,
right.
But those are the things that I really liked. And those are the things that I think people who were coming to The Lion King who were younger are going to like. Because like we said, it felt like one of those Earth movies. All we needed was Morgan Freeman in the background doing the voiceover. They got so many of those different movements correct that like when like the little cub was laying in the mama's arms and it, like, I was like, oh, that's just so adorable. Or, like when he walked up, like all of those things worked and they made sense and they fit. Now for some people, too bad Joy couldn't make it so we could find out exactly what she meant by some of the stuff. She, you know, there's certain things that rang hollow for her. They didn't click for her. And that made sense. I was like, okay. But it wasn't because she had some overt attachment to the original. She was just saying that some of the techniques and the tricks that they chose at certain moments didn't connect for her. For me, I felt like they got through the middle of this movie and they'd been doing a really good job of mixing all these things up and making it work. They'd even blended in the way that some of the things had been done when it was on a stage play. And I thought that worked really well for the translation. I don't feel like they managed to carry that all the way through in a way that it didn't interrupt the pacing. At one point, I fell asleep that's why I was like, no, this pace did not work for me.
I think you was tired. That you was tired. Okay. We busy. Okay. We be busy.
I was busy. Tired. I was tired, but I usually don't all the way go to sleep and realize I'm asleep and wake myself back up.
I mean, if you fell asleep during the third act, then I kind of understand that because they pretty much rushed that. Like once Nala showed up, the rest of that just kind of rushed through. But the whole
section
to me is the best part of the movie. When Timon,
it was in the third act. It was in the third act. It was the third act. First act had me. Second act held me. They lost me a little in the third act. I felt like they rushed things. The pacing was uneven. Some of the ways and the directions they decided to come at the story didn't necessarily fit the way they were giving us the dialogue and how they were using the music. And my black ass fell asleep for a hard 5 minutes.
But I'm just saying it was Beyonce's moment, so you gotta let Beyonce do Beyonce.
Beyonce can Beyonce all damn day, and I'm gonna let Beyonce always be Beyonce. I was hopeful that when I felt like that because of the women's voices they had behind the lionesses, that maybe they would take some license there and give us something more, and they didn't. So I was a little disappointed in that as well. So I was a little disappointed with the underutilization of some of the characters in here who still had impact later. I mean, you know, people connected with them from the animated, and there's no reason they couldn't have carried over being able to connect with them in the photoreal version, except for that they weren't given that much to do in order for anyone to connect with them.
But that's not going to happen with the regular audience. That's not going to happen.
No, it's not. It's not. I'm talking.
It's going to be completely fine.
I'm talking about me and the things that work for me as a regular viewer and what pulled me out. That's why I said I didn't go look at any of the stuff from critic stuff until I saw your comment, and then I saw something Chris said, and every single thing about it, all of it rang as bullshit. It rang as if you had never had a picture of the people who were behind the scenes, and all you had were these great, amazing voices with all these different accents, particularly considering how many of them are from the UK. I do not believe that they would have been imputing some of the tonal attitudes onto these voices and characters that they did had they not known going in that they were people of color, particularly black people. I just don't believe it. I read so much coded speech that it made me nauseous.
Yeah, and that's my problem. It's like I don't have a problem with like legit like critiques or people saying that there are some small pacing. Like all that makes sense, but it's just things will match up when I see the reaction, what the early reactions were, and then you start seeing what the actual reviews are, and then you start reading some of the reviews, and you're like, you're praising them. Like you'll see a review where they're praising the movie, and then all of a sudden it just turns into, yeah, but it's not good, and here's why, and you're like, wait a minute, but you like the song, you like the scene. Like I was seeing somebody say it's just barely better than Aladdin. I'm like, but the singing in Aladdin
that's
wasn't
some bullshit.
Good. Right, the singing in Aladdin wasn't
way
good.
Way better than Aladdin.
So, yeah, the singing in Aladdin wasn't good. The visuals had issues. What are we talking about?
Memorable.
The characters weren't memorable. Like this movie has all of that, and you say that in your review that it has all of that. But then all of a sudden, you start turning into things like, you know, I didn't like Simba's attitude. It's like the fuck. He's a 1-year-old cub. He's not like young. The whole point of the fucking film, even the original cartoon, was that someone gets a little too big for his britches and ends up getting a little, you know, and gets taken advantage of. And like that's the movie. So what are you,
I got a question. How you think Simba too big for his britches, but you literally got a hurt nigga on screen for 2 hours that ain't doing nothing but doing hurt nigga shit for 2 hours. That's all Scar is. Scar is a hurt, washed up lion.
I've seen people
he
say
does
that too.
Hurt nigga shit the whole movie. Like if it's anybody that should get on your nerves for how, if that's your thing, for they too big for their britches, Scar is literally moping around in this movie, whining, man, I should have been next. I was supposed to be next. He sound like Mello on the bench. I should have been next. It was supposed to be me.
Man, all this is behind a girl. Let's be real. At the end of the day, like my mother went out when we first watched The Lion King when we were younger. My mama looked at this and she said, now you need to recognize this man fucked up his whole life chasing behind some ass. I was like, I'm gonna leave the room because clearly you're talking to my brother. She's like, you see what he did with his life? He ain't accomplished shit. All behind some girl didn't want his dumb ass. And then he went and committed murder behind a girl who didn't want his dumb ass.
I mean,
all because he thought he should have had it.
It is what it is at the end of the day. And for people to act like it was supposed to be something else,
I don't know what they were expecting.
That's my whole thing. Like, I get that I get that some of the scenes they added, and that third act is absolutely rushed and it's not well polished. But like everything that leads into by the end of it all, that's the end of the movie. So really, what you just waiting for is for Scar to die, to fall into that fire, and then the hyenas to fuck him up. That's really what you're waiting for at the end, and maybe for there to be a lion fight. But it's not even like they did some kung fu lion fight shit with wires. They did real lion fighting in the lion fights. I'm like, bro.
Which I thought was cool.
No, and they're supposed to do that. Like the scene where Nala is sneaking and stuff. I thought that was done very well. Beyonce doesn't have to really speak during those scenes. And Beyonce is Beyonce. When she's saying, she shines. But like what they did with the animation for that with the lions, I thought was great. Reactions and stuff. I get it, man. You might look at a lion saying some words on screen and being like, damn, they ain't really like animate him enough. You know why they didn't? Because it's a fucking lion. They were trying to do a real fucking lion. Most lions, like the actual lions, look high as shit. Them niggas don't be looking like they be running around all animated, cracking jokes and shit the whole time. Simba's father, most of the time when he chilling, he look like he high as fuck. Because when you watch National Geographic, lions be looking high as fuck, dog. They eat meat.
I think people are overplaying that. I didn't feel like they had like resting dead face or anything like that. I feel like, as you said, they look like lions, but I felt like they used all of those elements well. I'm serious. But you know, I feel like we're bitching a whole bunch about the critics and not talking so much about the movie. But can we talk about the whole sequence with the hyenas out in Hyena Land, where it's all the money out to the north?
That was something new. They added something new with that whole chase shit, and the way they did it was great. And the comedy between like Keegan and fucking, I'm guessing that's Eric, that was Azizi or whatever. Like that comedy duo worked perfectly. I was like, wait. Is Key and Peele doing this, or is this just Key? I thought this was just Key. It sounds like Peele's here. Then I realized it's Eric. I'm like, oh, well, that shit, that worked. Putting two black comedians together seems to kind of just work on screen.
I personally feel like every single thing that they had Kamari and Azizi do as the hyenas was a perfect replacement for the one thing that everybody's like, say it again, Mufasa, woo. By the time they got finished setting up the new dynamic between the two of them, you did not miss that line. And you had plenty of stuff to laugh about. And the way that they use the natural like creepiness of hyenas and their bodies, I thought that worked great for setting up menacing and all that stuff. That's why I said this movie is what it is. And I think that he made just enough small changes to bring this up and modernize it in ways that it's really going to hit with his target demographic, which is still kids.
I think what he did with Timon and Pumbaa is what saved the whole middle half.
Brilliant.
Because I didn't realize Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner would work so well together, but the way they play off each other and the jokes that they wrote for each other or came up with or were written for them, the timing,
even the way they figured out how they wanted to sing together, was
perfect. All of that work, yes, and like the way they did the little "When I Was a Warthog" shit, and they did a story. Like, man, I'm sorry, there are certain scenes that I thought were just like, I was cackling in the theater during all of Timon and Pumbaa shits. I thought John Oliver as Zazu was great. I thought he nailed it. I like the fact that they had Zazu, the bird, actually acting how that bird would act, so he never actually looks at anybody. And I think Childish Gambino singing Hakuna Matata was a great new rendition, because he added that Childish Gambino sound to it. And no, I thought it was dope.
Oh, look, he's now riffing it. Like,
it's funny and it's good, and you're like, this is the same man that sang Redbone. Like, I wanted to hear what Hakuna Matata was gonna sound like when he came in as an adult, and he fucking nailed it. Like, it was what I expected. It was as good as it should have been. And you know, like you said, the hyenas were done well. You know, they could have did more with the lionesses since they had like Alfie Ritter and them involved. I loved everything they did with Rafiki. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's the Lion King. Like, it is the Lion King. It's not the Lion King. It's just that I think translating this to live action CGI is making adults, who are now fucking adults, aware of the actual story that played out in the cartoon. Also, I only specifically am talking about these critics who are leaving these negative reviews, because the audience that go, the black families and shit that are going to go see this, your aunties and your aunt aunts and your uncles and your aunt down the street and your kind of aunt and your fake aunt, when they take everybody to go see this, when the church goes to see this, they are going to love this movie. There is not going to be a, like, oh, don't feel like the original. They are going to love this movie. The songs sound the same with a bit of an upgraded tone. The story is still there. The recognizing of certain voices returning is gonna bring them into it. They added funnier moments, right? I don't feel like that this film is going to have any trouble. It's gonna end up like the rating for Aladdin is. The critic rating is like a 56%. The audience rating is like a 95%. That's what's gonna end up happening with this.
Yeah, and the difference to me is that this is a good movie. Like Aladdin was an okay movie. Like, and I think that's what's bothering me about this is I'm okay if people are like, this movie didn't hit me the way I thought it was. It didn't give me the magic of the original. I'm fine with that. But at the end of the day, you still gotta admit, it's still a good film. Like, nothing about this makes this a bad film, even with the pacing issues that Ro brings up, and hey, maybe the third act is a little rushed. It's still a good movie.
But I still...
Right, no.
I enjoy the shit out of it.
But it's not. But to me, it's still different from enjoying. Like, because you can enjoy a bad movie, right? But this is not about just enjoying a movie.
Oh no,
this is still
a good movie.
This is still
this is
good.
A good movie.
It looks great. The cast is great. The singing is great. It has three things that the fucking Aladdin didn't have. And so, like, I think that's what's driving me crazy right now is people are acting like this is not a good movie, and I'm seeing it going. I'm like, no. I understand if you don't capture the magic of what you had. Nothing's going to capture that magic you had of what the original Lion King came out, 1994? Right?
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You're never going to capture that magic again. It's never going to happen. As an adult,
like
you're not going to get that.
Like somebody cared a BGN review of this. Bro, come on, man.
A what?
A BGN review of this.
What BGN review? What are you talking about?
BGN. Black girl nerd.
I'm sorry, I had wiped that from my consciousness. It took me a minute to make the correlation and connection again.
I don't give a fuck. About that.
And
I'm sorry.
Is it positive?
It's negative.
Of course it is. Negative.
Damn, like, why do we care about BGN? And second of all, as a black site representing black women and black nerds, why the fuck would you go in heavy handedly shitting on this?
Okay, look, the only way that you could come out of that is if you had the anticipation and the expectation that they were going to do more with the lionesses the way they had done with the other substantive basic characters in this movie. And they didn't. So if you want to come at it from a female perspective, they still basically fridged the lionesses. I mean, they barely gave them anything in the areas where they were supposed to be having them move, if that's what you want to do, if that's what you want to look at. I think it's some bullshit because the whole sequence where the queen goes up there and talks to Scar. I thought that was well done. I thought it was new. It had emotion. I mean, it was like, look, see, I was like, this is why you should not ever have to choose between brothers. But if you do, kill the one you don't pick. I thought all of those moments hit. I thought it worked really well. The literal only thing that fell off for me, if you want to talk about it from a female point of view, is the complete and utter passiveness and then the hyper aggressiveness that they wanted to give it to Nala. There was just something about that dissonance between the two that didn't feel natural to the rest of the way that they had told the story, because they didn't give us much of what was happening in Pride Lands at the rock where the lionesses stayed. They kept it out on the plains. That's literally the only thing that you could bitch about. If they were going to change anything else, they could have given us an inside peek to the things where he was saying, you know, Scar running up in here and living his best life right about now. But they stuck to just showing us him over hunting and him running everything out and ruining where they live. They didn't actually show you any of the elements of what he did to their life. And if you want to bitch about something from a female point of view, since that's where the women in the movie were, quote unquote, women's voices, that is literal only complaint that you could make from this. If you're talking from a perspective on, especially a black woman's site, I'm not going to click on it and read it and see if they even went that angle, but that's literally it.
And I was expecting if they were going to change anything, I thought they would do more of that there too. And go that route, but they really do have the line that's just laying around until basically the end, basically on some, there's nothing we can fucking do, you know, until Simba shows back up.
But again, I don't know what you expect me to do about that.
And again, being a faithful translation, but you know, Disney has done this thing where they have made those changes when necessary. I mean, shit, they tried to do it with fucking Aladdin. Absolutely. It didn't work, but they tried.
We're leaving at 11.
So,
Oh, what?
Hey, Brandon, you want to mute your mic? Can you talk? So
I did mute, and somehow the damn button came back up. I don't know what the hell is going on with this mixer.
I mean, but like I said, my little only thing is like let's not act like this is not Dumbo. This is not Aladdin. Like, this is not that. I understand people having their issues, but to act like this is not a good film, to me, it just seems off. Like, that just seems... I will not accept that. Like, this is Head and Shoulders, one of the best ones they've done.
Yeah, I mean, I told you, I liked this movie. I thought it was a good movie. I had certain expectations. I should say I had certain hopes, since they had the opportunity to kind of tweak some things, and he said he would be modernizing some things. I had hopes at areas where he might add to the story, because I know this is a basic ass story, because I read fairy tales all the damn time. But he didn't. And he took what was there, and I thought he did an amazing job with it. And you got those moments where you knew you were looking at Jon Favreau behind the camera. And I feel like he got a feeling a little too good to him every once in a while. I was like, all right, man, just go on up the tree. I don't need... But like, they did these nice little subtle hat tips to the original, like with the circle of life and all those moments. And I thought they were beautifully done. I thought they played well. I loved how they used the score in those moments. I'm nowhere near thinking this movie is a damn 6.5 like I thought for Aladdin. And I was still being nice to Aladdin. And we all were nice to Aladdin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, there are aspects of this movie that I wish some of the stuff that they had done in Dumbo, they had done in Dumbo. Like, this is literally what it would look like if they had given us what we wanted in Dumbo, and those people who didn't work had been changed into animals. That movie would have been as good as this one.
Yeah,
because that's what was wrong with that. Right. So this movie skipped over the mistake of Dumbo and is heading above cast and done better than Aladdin. So I don't know. And I don't know what the F. And some of the critics who were bitching about this did not bitch about this type of stuff in Aladdin. And that's why I said it's because it's black folks and it's coded ass speech and they can kiss my ass.
And there's also the magic, right? Because there's another film we keep forgetting that we saw around this too. The Nutcracker. The Nutcracker and the Four Realms. Right. So it's like, we've seen when Disney has phoned it in for these remakes and they've done. We've seen that. This is not that. And so, again, like that's why I've just been, like, I'm looking at the score. I remember the score of Jungle Book was in the 90s, and then seeing this one down there below 60, I'm like, I'm sorry, that just sits wrong to me, because there's no fucking way. Even if you say Jungle Book is a better film with it, which I think is arguable, like, there's no way the difference is that big of a difference between Jungle Book and this film here. I just find that to be completely ridiculous, because, again, you get those moments. You can't tell me when you're watching the moments that you connect to in the cartoon that you don't feel anything when you watch those moments in this film here. It's impossible. Man. Even if you feel you don't get the exact moment, you still feel something. And like you said, it's still enjoyable. So I just find it, I can't prove it that it's because it's a lot of black people in the cast voicing the cast here. But it just feels a little bit off to me, because something doesn't add up, and that's what drives me crazy. The inconsistency is what drives me crazy, right? And to me, this is wildly inconsistent with how we look at these other films. We have other films like this that we have graded, that we've looked at, I don't mean us, but I'm just saying in general as critics as a whole, and this is nowhere near that. Let's go and get the score. What would you guys give as a score for this film?
I'm so mad. I need a minute. Back to me.
Brandon?
I think it's like a 7.5 out of 10, 8 out of 10. And because I think there's racism involved in the criticism, I'll go ahead and just give it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I was at a 7.5. To me, it's a 7.5. And it's only just because I don't have the connection to Lion King like everybody else does. So...
I don't honestly feel like, given some of the things that I took issue with and the fact that my black ass fell asleep, that I can go higher than a 7.5 for a movie I fell asleep in the movie theater on. But it also could be because I was in a Dolby theater and they gave me a chair that actually felt like it hugged me, so you know, I was really comfortable. But yeah, this is a 7.5, 8 for me.
Okay.
I feel really comfortable sitting there saying that, and I actually did look at some of the reviews between people who were going super negative of this for what they had to say for this movie versus what they had to say for some of the other not photorealism live action movies that we've got. And I was like, see, y'all are full of shit. I'm like, you don't have a legitimate complaint with this movie. You got to the end of it, you liked it, and then you wanted to come some kind of way so you could cut into their money. Let's keep this movie from making money so they don't ever have this many black people together again.
It's been a while since I've watched a film where I can tell critics like a film, and then when they go out and talk to the rep, they're like, oh, well, I didn't like it. I'm like, but you was clapping and laughing and weeping and showing all these emotions in the film. But then when it comes time for you to actually give your score, all of a sudden you didn't like it. That just seems like a disconnect to me because...
I agree.
Say you like the film. It's fine to say you like the film, but it feels like a lot of people are trying to force themselves into not like the film. Mm-hmm. They thought that it wasn't going to work. It got to them, and they're like, well, I got to stick to what I've been saying the entire time, which is, film's not going to be good. Like, okay, whatever.
I saw one critic cry when Mufasa died and then went out there and said, I just really feel like it's lost something. I was like, motherfucker, you cried.
It lost your mind.
You cried when he fell. You cried when they did the pan from Scar's face to Mufasa's face to Simba's face. You cried. But you out here talking about, I just don't know. I said, look, I liked it. I thought they blended all the different versions together. Well, I thought it was a little long in places, but you know. It's an enjoyable film. And this one, he's like, I just don't know. I was like, you need to get your stick out your butt.
That's the thing that gets me. It's like, don't sit there and, again, it's weird. There's the last two things I want to bring with this. One, we really do need to talk about how Seth Rogen is having the biggest come up of all time. Like,
Oh my God!
I didn't see your tweet, but between this and we're watching a show right now that cannot be named at this current time. My man he has to come up right now, yo. He's doing all right.
Seth Rogen's been on the low doing great. And the fact that he not made a mistake as a white man since Knocked Up. I don't think I have to, because Seth Rogen just seems to fucking get it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't go out of his way to do anything. Like, Seth Rogen's been chilling. His characters have been what they have been, but that's acting. Like, Seth Rogen in real life, behind the camera, writing. Yeah. Has done some great things, and he is having an amazing year this year. Like, amazing.
He might be the first white dude bro who actually grew up.
He grew up matured. Right, because Longshot is still one of my favorites.
That's the movie I was thinking about, too. The other movie I was thinking about, I was like, you know, he's great in Longshot, and it doesn't go where you think it's going to go. And he's actually, like, I also call him the problematic property whisperer, where he takes problematic properties and somehow doesn't, like... He doesn't fall into the mistakes the problematic properties made. It's like, it's a very interesting thing that seeing him go about doing this stuff here. I can actually say it's like, I'm actually enjoying this. And watch he come out and something come up above Seth Rogen in like a week or so. Now that I've come out.
No, I went, more. You know what? Look, this man, he freely admits when he messes up. And even when he felt like he needed to make amends, he went and testified in front of Congress to try to, like, you know, use his clout to make things better in the world. Seth Rogen grew up, and I'm appreciating the way that he grew up. And, you know, may he continue to avoid his fuckboy friends so he can stay a grown ass man. Because I even liked him in his episode for Twilight Zone as Adam Wegman.
Yeah,
no, I mean, but which fuckboy friends are we talking about? Because, like, the ones we like, James Franco, yes, absolutely. But the other ones, they're just trying to make their money and chilling. I've seen, like, Jonah has tried that line, and he did it, and it did not... He saw what was going to happen if he went too far, and he pulled all the fucking way back, and he's back chilling again. But, like, the other cat from Knocked Up that they're friends with, he did his little dragon shit, and he's good. Like, them boys know what they're doing. They're just chilling.
He just looks like that friend who, you know, has somebody who calls and says, hey, why don't you come hang out? And then he goes in that apartment, and 3 weeks later, he comes out and he realizes he hasn't bathed, and he's only eaten like pizza crust, and he smoked way too much weed, and he's basically blown all his personal relationships and professional contact.
Yeah.
So, you know, he has that friend, and I just say, bravo, continue on not going to visit him at his house. Yeah. Only meet him in public where it's safe. But yeah, he's grown up and he hangs out with more black people, and I think he's afraid of what will happen if he fucks up.
No, he is, because I saw that the picture he took with the cast, he's like, I'm in, like on Twitter, he's like, I'm in a picture with Beyonce. And you can tell, like, he's trying so hard. Mm-hmm. Like, he did the same thing when he was with, they were doing press for Longshot, and he's in the picture. He's like, yeah, I had to dress up because I'm going to be in photos with.
Yeah, he's like, Charlize. I'm not going to be Etcherine. I'm not going to be Etcherine.
You know, it's like, oh man, it's smart. Like, yo, if you're a white man, you need to get whoever Seth Rogen is using for his publicists and his PR people, you need to get them because they understand, like, perception and marketing and looks. The last thing I want to do is, before we close out of here, I want to clear my fucking name. A little slander was happening. See, it's like, I think that some of these critics might have felt a little bit better if a problematic white woman was singing country music in these songs instead. I just want to say, I did not stop watching Wild Rose because it was a musical. It's not a musical. I stopped watching it because I'm tired of watching these problematic dumb white people films that are only being made because they're problematic dumb white people. Because if that was a nigga, that film would not have been made. That woman spends about 60% of that movie trying to sell her fucking mixtape to a black woman. They would never make that fucking film with a black person. So I stopped watching that fucking film.
Who said
that Joy
because it was a musical? No, Joy said, fuck Chris, he's a motherfucking hater. But she did not say that he stopped watching it because it was a musical. I know she exactly implied why you stopped watching it. That's why when you sent me the email, I was like, yeah, I still don't know why you say you wanted to watch this. This is going to be a white woman in peril.
Because when y'all send me things, you'd be like, hey, I got a link for this movie. And they want us to watch it and review it so they can send it back to us. You guys want to watch it? And I'm just like, sure, I'll watch it.
No,
you guys
never. For you, Rose. No. Remember, Rowan them mentioned Wild Rose, and I found a rep email and sent it back. That's why I went and found it.
Why would you?
Joy
why
and Rowan, but like, why would it was, to it was my Rose.
But why, find, but finding the movie you, was my fault because somebody had you, mentioned it and said, "Well, can you really talk about whether or not that you think Yesterday is one of the movies that makes the best use of a music catalog, not necessarily meant to be a biopic, if you haven't seen all the movies that are doing that?" And they asked me, had I seen Wild Rose? And I was like, you know what? I haven't. That's a legit statement. I didn't have a contact. Phenom said he had a contact, so I asked him to reach out. Chris, I was not expecting you to watch this movie because I was like, this looks like a whole... Jesse Buckley can act her ass off, and I think she has a very beautiful voice. But once I read that this whole thing was supposed to be about... You know, white girl whiting and refusing to accept responsibility for her life because she has a dream. I was like, I don't know if Chris want to do that.
Why would y'all email me then?
But why? As soon as I saw that, I was like, bro,
let him talk. I want to know what he said.
But why would another Taylor Schilling movie?
But why did y'all include me on the email then? So why don't y'all just record?
Y'all don't need
to let me know when these movies come up. I'll be okay to not know. Like, y'all just come up and be like, hey, yeah, we recorded this shit, go and put this up.
No, I'm sorry, Chris. You ruined it. That dissertation that you wrote on my face, you're watching all of these because I need you to put that where people can hear it. Two of my friends read that and said, is that one of the people you do critic reviews with? I'm like, yep. And they subscribe. So now I'm sorry, Chris. We can no longer allow you to opt out because you are so...
I'm not going to lie. I had every... And it's my bad. I was so angry when I sent that email to Brandon on some, yo, just give it to whoever the fuck needs it. So I was just like, I'm done with it. I ain't finishing watching this shit. I was literally sending an email,
I can't finish watching this shit. And I wrote back, nigga, I'm not surprised why you keep doing this to yourself.
So I never got
a reply. So I was like, I'm not even about to call Chris and be like, hey, bro, you want to join us and I forgot to talk about this film you didn't finish?
And I forgot to say that I watched enough of the film to hop on the review because I needed to get that shit out of my fucking head. So I'm sitting there stewing. And then when I saw that you guys had already done it, I was like, God damn it. Now I'm going to have this stupid-ass fucking film and my problem with this fucking film stuck in my goddamn head, and I can't get it out. And so, yeah, I just want to let you guys know, it's not because I hate Joy. I just do not like these white people movies. I can't do it because I called you a curmudgeon.
Joy said you didn't like Joy in your life. I said you were a curmudgeon. I'm just saying.
I don't like mediocre white people who jump on their employer's beds and then go and ask them for $5,000 to send them overseas. Like, what the bitch? Who the fuck?
I'm sorry. For the rest of my life, I'm never going to be able to describe this movie as anything other than she spent half the movie trying to get a black woman to buy her mixtape. I can't.
She was trying to get people to buy her mixtape. If that was a nigga, it would never have been a goddamn film. Sorry.
And they were covers. They weren't even original songs.
I mean, it would be better. Yo, we'd get better films coming of age, black singing films. We actually had like Ludacris selling mixtape out his trunk.
Out the trunk, the movie would absolutely get niggas in the seat.
There's a moment in that film where even like somebody she's talking to goes, she's like, I mean, she even kind of is like, yeah, you know, I know I'm in England, but I like, you know, singing country, and I was just born in the wrong place. I'm like, yeah, bitch, you are in England trying to sing country and western songs. Well, they're not country western. They're country western songs. You need to stop. Go get a fucking job. Go do something else. Do something else with your fucking life. You have two kids. Stop trying to sell a fucking mixtape and get a goddamn job.
Or do your job.
Saw that she realized she was white womaning too hard, and she did what you told her to do.
She went.
She got a job.
She grew up.
I'm not watching over 2 hours of that shit. Just for the lesson in the movie to be like, grow the fuck up. No, not doing that. That's what Lion King is for. Lion King story is grow the fuck up and take responsibility for yourself. But at least Simba was a goddamn kid when that fucking shit happened. This is a grown ass fucking woman trying to sell meth, didn't realize that I didn't know it was meth. She literally used the I didn't know I couldn't do that excuse and got the fuck. All right, so
First off, sir, 27 is definitely the new 15.
For white
so I don't know what you're talking
about.
For
white
yeah.
Like Ryan Locke was 33 when he did that 12-year-old shit in Brazil. So,
well, there was
for white people. They age forward, but not mentally. They age backwards.
Well, there was that black dude who's 36-year-old who was caught licking the fucking ice cream. So there was that. So you're right. We are definitely.
You got black kids that's like 9 years old pretending to be doctors and giving pap smears. So, I mean, like, you age forward and white people fall back.
All right, that's all I had to do. I just had to get that out of my system. I need to verbally say this. But do you feel better? I do feel better. I do feel better because I'll never remember that film again. Okay. Until it comes up during award season and you guys are going to say, you should go watch the film, and I'm not going to watch the film because fuck that shit.
But see how you don't have to.
I've watched enough of it. I've watched about 75% of it, and I'm just like, that's the film. Last thing, because people would complain about like, you know, reboots and remakes and shit like that. Oh, Disney's doing all these remakes. Why can't get something original? Wild Rose is original, but if you think about it, they keep making that film. The white person who's old enough to know better but doesn't know better and needs to spend an entire fucking movie learning how to do better, they make that film every fucking year, and nobody complains about how that's not original, even though that's the fucking film that they always fucking make. Just find
because
it kind
it's
of
their
funny.
Stories. It's their coming of age, realizing
it's all they've it's story. It's that's all why. They've got. It's all they've got. And ironically enough, of the ones that they have, Wild Rose pulled the least amount of bullshit wool over people's eyes,
Wild
which
Rose
is how
one
we,
of the better ones.
That's why we were surprised. But yeah, it's all they have, honestly. But you know, the mixtape movie that's what that is for the rest of his life.
Because typically in a Wild Rose type film, other people don't treat her like she's acting like a piece of shit. Her mom immediately is like, God, you're a piece of shit. Like, you just came home from jail. You've been home one day. You're already a piece of shit again. And she's like,
you didn't get in the house before you was on some bullshit.
Goddamn, go wash some windows.
Go wash your ass. Go wash your ass. Wash your ass. Buy
this
a calendar.
Man, when you clean your kitchen and it looked like a whole different house. I was like,
yo,
did they change sets?
No, they gave this bitch props because she cleaned her fucking house one night when she had two fucking kids. It's like, bitch, you have two kids. You're supposed to fucking clean your house. You don't get a gold star for being a fucking parent.
How you move them in before you get the mold off the wall?
Like you don't get a gold star for being a parent. You did the bare minimum. We're going to order pizza. And then you didn't even order the fucking pizza. All right, I'm done. She went and got drunk.
Yeah. But remember, it was the police's fault because they arrested her, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Don't you remember?
Yeah,
it's not her fault.
All right,
but that's
all right.
Why I liked it. Right. I liked it. I'm sorry, Chris. We shouldn't have slandered you without being clear as to why we were slandering you. So we didn't slander you appropriately.
I'm apologizing to him for slandering him for finishing a movie that he know his ass should have been watching.
I said I'm inappropriately slandering him, not for slandering him.
I'm gonna start watching these trailers.
If he's going to have to take slander, I like it to at least be accurate.
Truth is an ultimate defense. I gotta start watching these trailers because as soon as I didn't know nothing about the film. Until I opened up the link and it was like country western. I'm like, God damn it. I was like, I don't, why did I do? As soon as I opened it up, I was just
so
like,
does that mean you don't want to watch Daisy Ridley as Ophelia? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Silence. All right, we're done. I'll let y'all.
Movie trailer review spot. So last thing, folks. Last thing before we get out of here, make sure you guys the Character Corner is up for People's Choice Award and for Best Podcast in Entertainment. Go to podcastawards.com. Register to nominate us. You'll find us in both categories. Nominate us. We got until the July 31st. We would really appreciate it, Deepam and I, for that. And if it goes well with this, we'll put all the other shows in there next year. Yeah, by the way. So thank you guys very much. Make sure you subscribe, Movie Trailer Reviews. And we're going to be... So we don't have anything next week because we'll be in San Diego. After that, we got Hobbs and Shaw, I believe. So, or at least close to that.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for that shit. So yeah, folks. Until next time, we are out of here. Peace.